Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Hi there, thank you. As Andy said, today I want to continue our sermon series on courage by thinking about courageous parenting. It's very apt for a baby dedication, so it was great that it fell upon this Bible passage. I have been married to Trevor for 5 years now, and we have two daughters. That's fine, I'll take the chair. We have two daughters. One of them is 14 and one of them is a 3. And for those of you who have done the maths, you can see that from the ages of our daughters and the length of time that we've been married, our family story has by no means been straightforward. And Trevor became Niamh's dad when we got married and she was 9. And before that, I was a single parent. So I want you to know that whenever I'm talking about courageous parenting, I have a few different perspectives on that, wherever it is that you're coming from in your journey. Whenever I was a single parent, some days courage looked like getting up in the morning and keeping going and getting my kid to nursery school. Now I'm not a single parent, and the truth is I still need courage on a daily basis, especially as we navigate the teenage years now and learn how to trust God with the complexities of life at secondary school in 2019, and also as Trevor and I learn how we need to at all costs fight to prioritise our marriage. So I want to pick up this sermon series at the start of the book of Exodus, and we're going to read from Exodus 1, 8 to 14 together, if I can make this work. Am I clicking? There we go. Super duper, thank you. There we go. Okay. Now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died, but the Israelites were exceedingly fruitful. They multiplied greatly, increased in numbers, and became so numerous that the land was filled with them. Then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt. Look, he said to his people, the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Ramesses as store cities for the Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with harsh labor in bricks and mortar, and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. So the Bible tells us that the Hebrews were slaves in Egypt for around 400 years. Generation after generation endured this very cruel regime, and it was into this story that a little Hebrew girl was born called Jochebed. I don't know if you've heard of her. She was the mother of Moses, but I want to think about her background for a bit. All she and her community ever knew was oppression. However, it seems that she also knew her identity. She knew who she was and where her family fit in God's story. Her parents and her aunts and her uncles, the people of her community, would have told her the stories of God and shown her how to love the Lord with all her heart and all her mind and all her strength. And as she grew older, she married a man called Amram, and in turn, they became parents to two children called Miriam and a son called Aaron. And as we've said, the work that the Egyptians forced on the Israelites at this time was evil and cruel. Exodus begins with a land filled with Israelites, and they'd been fruitful and they'd multiplied just as God had told Abraham they would do. And under a previous rule, the Israelites had royal permission to live in the land and to work it. But here we have a new king, and what's different is this new king, he operates from a place of fear. He feared that their numbers were a threat to his national security, and thus he decided to deal very shrewdly with them. And what made the situation in Egypt unbearable was not only the slavery, but its extreme harshness. We're told that the Egyptians worked the Israelites ruthlessly. They made their life bitter and harsh, and Israel existed in misery and suffering. So destructive was Pharaoh's fear that it caused him to enforce this great brutality. And when that didn't work, it caused him to resort to infanticide to stop population growth. Verse 15 tells us, the king of Egypt told the Hebrew midwives, when you're helping the Hebrew women during childbirth in the delivery stall, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live. And when this didn't work, the Pharaoh gave the order to all his people that every Hebrew newborn boy must be thrown into the Nile. This king was cold-hearted and murderous. And it was right at this time in history that Amram and Jochebed, along with little Aaron and Miriam, discovered that their wee family of four was about to become a family of five. And all new parents are really excited, you know, to discover if they're having a boy or a girl. When I hear that somebody's expecting a baby, like, I can't wait to hear either. But can you imagine what it was like for a couple who were expecting a baby to be born in this time? Would it be a boy or a girl? Suddenly, the question is completely soul-destroying. Would there be the sheer relief of having a baby girl, or the anguish of having a boy that was destined to be killed? If you had been there, imagine how you would have felt. Imagine that you lived back then, and someone that you loved was expecting a baby. You didn't know if it was a boy or a girl. If it was a girl, you could celebrate, but if it was a boy, it wouldn't be long till the soldiers arrived to throw it in the river. On the day of birth, instead of great joy and excitement, this little couple we introduced earlier, Jochebed and Amram, were likely completely overwhelmed with heartache as they welcomed their new baby boy into the world. And this is the story of how that happened. I'm going to take up the story in Exodus. Now, a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying and she felt sorry for him. Good time to cry, little baby. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Yes, go, she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. How hard to not get to name your own baby. I'm sure Jochebed and Amram discussed many times what they would do if their baby was a boy. How they must have prayed. And when the baby was born, they decided to obey God rather than Pharaoh. We read that when Moses' mother saw him, she could see that he was a special baby. Now all babies are special. But I think in this case, what we're talking about is that they could look at this baby and see God's prophetic destiny over him. God had revealed to them that their boy was special unto the Lord, and they trusted him. He was special with God's plans, and they made the decision to keep him. And it was risky. If they had been found out, the whole family would have been at risk. But instead of casting him into the Nile, they hid their son for 3 months. According to the historian Josephus, the Pharaoh's command also stated that if the parents decided to hide the baby boy, the entire family would be killed. Each family was placed in this horrendous position of having to choose the safety of the many over the life of the one, or risk the lives of all their other children in an attempt to save the newest one. This was a time When awful as it is to say out loud, it would have been quite easy to choose death for this baby. But Amram and Jochebed chose life. They chose God's way over the government's way. And I'm mentioning both parents. It talks about Jochebed all the time in the Bible, but on purpose I'm mentioning Amram as well, because it says in Hebrews 11, 23, that both are honoured. It says, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. And so although we hear mostly about Jochebed, I'm just going to read between the lines here. It doesn't say this in the Bible, but I imagine that that is because Amram was out of the house all day long working as a slave for all those long hours under that horrible regime we read about earlier. And I wonder just how desperate Amram must have felt as he slaved away all of those hours carrying the heavy strain of this burden as well as the grueling work. Wondering for every waking moment if his family were safe at home and alive. I can't see the sons of my eyes. It was no light decision for them as a couple to decide that during the daytime Jochebed would hide this baby away. And I can only guess that she spent her days crying out to the Lord for this baby of hers who was scheduled for execution by drowning. How Jochebed managed to hide her baby, who would have cried just as loudly as any other baby, in some secret place where he could not be seen or heard, is a mystery. But what we do know is that she fought for life. They did everything possible to ensure that their baby would be safe and protected from the king and his men. However, sin, we read in the Bible that they understood they could no longer keep him safe. And so Jochebed wove a little basket and covered it with tar. I wonder what she was thinking when she wove that basket. What she told her other older children. Were they weeping? Did she pray as she wove that little basket? Were the children asking question after question? Why, Mummy, why are we making the basket? What's going to happen? What will happen next? What will happen to our baby? Did she tell them the story of Noah? And how God used that ark to save lives? Did she cry out her prayers over him as she closed the lid of this little ark, daring to hope that God had a plan that was way bigger than hers? And as she set him in this carefully made little floating basket and sent him down the river, trusting in the glory of God, she was believing that he was going to work things out. And God did work it out. She not only ended up being a nursing mother for her own son, but she actually got paid to do it. And as the years passed, Jochebed would have invested in her boy. She would no doubt have taught him all the same promises that her parents and grandparents and community taught her. She would have told him about the promise that was made to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. She would have taught him to love the Lord with all of his heart. I'm sure she will have warned him of many of the false gods that were lifted up throughout the land of Egypt. What kind of stories was she telling her son, do you think? I imagine stories about the goodness of God and the promises that he has made. She would have taught him that our God is faithful and he is so good. And then Jochebed had to let Moses go again. When he became an older child, she had to take him to the palace and give him over to be Pharaoh's son. She had to let him go and trust God a second time. Would he be safe? Would he forget her? Forget his family? Would Moses remember the God that they loved? Was there a strong enough foundation? Let me tell you this. Prayer for our children and spiritual investment like this is a game changer. Let us never underestimate the power of telling our children God's stories. There is nothing about Moses' upbringing in the palace that should have resulted him in becoming an adult who followed and served the Lord with all his heart. He would have spent the rest of his childhood and those really influential teenage years in an environment that was godless and materialistic. Power and wealth would have been at his fingertips. Worldly influence was at his disposal. And yet he became the man who grew up and told the people in the wilderness to put away their foreign gods and to love the Lord. The only conclusion that I can reach is that in those few years that Jochebed and Amram had with him, that they must have passed on their faith in God and a fearless courage that never left him. If we want to raise our children to have a faith that lasts a lifetime, we must be intentional and we must have courage. Jochebed and Amram raised three of the most influential people in the Old Testament. There was Moses, who became one of the greatest national leaders and legislators that the world has ever known. There was Aaron, who became Israel's first high priest. And there was Miriam, who was a gifted prophet and a poet and a musician. She was a worship leader. And in completely adverse conditions, they courageously raised children who grew up to walk in the fullness of God's plans for their lives. And that is what we want to do for our children. And so we have this incredible example of courageous parenting back all those centuries ago. But today, our challenge is to ask ourselves, what does courageous parenting look like for us now? What is courageous parenting in the 21st century, in this little corner of the world that God has placed all of us in? We firstly got to stop and think about how courageous this mother was by just hiding him. They kept him close. I have seen parents not courageously take care of their family. It is all too easy to walk away when things get hard, rather than to fight for our marriages and for our families. We must have the courage to keep our families close. Jochebed defied the king's murderous order. She risked her safety. We've talked about what would happen to her if the king's soldiers had have come in and discovered what she was doing. She stepped up and did something remarkable, and it stands out. She was a woman of humble faith. They're living in slavery. She could have killed the child and followed the king's edict, but she knew that he was destined for greatness. We need to look at our kids and see the destiny that God has put in them. And we need to have the courage to speak it out without worrying about how it sounds. I see destiny in you. I see greatness in you. Tell your kids how you've prayed and asked God his plans for them. And if you haven't, start now and speak it into your kids' lives. You are not going to know all of the negativity that they're reading on their phones, the messages that they're hearing in their schools. So much negativity. Our kids need to understand that they are beautiful with God's plans. Jochebed had the opportunity to impart knowledge and sow into his life. During those few years, she imparted the knowledge of God, how to talk to God, how to hear him speak. So much of our worldview is imparted in our early years. She managed to impart so much that it stood him for the rest of his life. From as soon as he left his Hebrew community, from then on, he would only have been taught about Pharaoh's gods and false ones. And it's the same today. Your home is a mission field. We have to courageously impart our faith to our children. And it can be as simple as when they're watching something on TV that you don't like, speak up. Tell them that thing they're watching, it's not what God says is best for us. It can be as intentional as reading them a Bible story every day. Keep your eyes open and pay attention, because you can be certain that if you're trying to raise a family that glorifies Jesus, the devil will not like it. When your kids leave the house and you are worried about them from being apart from you, you tell them, don't you forget who you are. Not now, not ever, because the Lord has his hands on your life and he is good. Like Jochebed, we must have the courage to launch our children. She made this basket and tarred it to make it buoyant, and she sent them down the river, and it was a big river. The Nile is one of the biggest rivers in the world, and there were crocodiles. And she knew that she was sending him out and there were dangers around him. And we need to send our kids out into this world amongst the crocodiles too. And we need to be courageous. Send them out covered in prayer and knowing their identity. There are times in our lives when we need the courage to place our kids in God's hands and say that we can no longer do everything for them ourselves, and we need to keep doing it. From when we first drop them at nursery school, and then to primary and secondary school, and out into this world to live the lives that God has for them. Courageous parenting in the 21st century means knowing how to let our precious children move forwards. It is our job to prepare our kids to be independent, capable, and resilient. But letting hard go can be hard. But like Jochebed, we have to launch our kids. There's no way that she could have known that Pharaoh's daughter would have been bathing there, or indeed that she wouldn't just have tipped that basket over and drowned Moses too, because she grew up in that palace and had been raised to fear the Hebrews as well. Jochebed launched her baby at just the right time because God knew, and what looked like this river of death became one of life. Jochebed made the ark because she realized that there was a war going on and the enemy would like nothing more than to end the lives of these Hebrew children. And there is still a war going on. Just look around our culture. You talk to any one of our teenagers at church and they will tell you that so many of their friends are having a really hard time just knowing who they are. There is an identity crisis happening in our schools. Our kids are constantly being attacked by the enemy, and that means we have a responsibility. We need to pay attention to what's going on in this culture that our children are growing up in and have the courage to be strategic about it. We have been given instructions all through the Bible on how to raise our children, and we can't become so caught up in culture that we miss what we need to be doing. We are fighting a war as well, and the enemy would love to destroy them. When Pharaoh's first plan didn't work, he came right back with the second one. The enemy's persistent, but so was Jochebed, and so are we. Jochebed lived in serious times, but she got strategy straight from heaven. Confusion is rampant in our culture. How difficult it is for our young people to sift through this vast sea of information and to work out what is true. Truth has become a relative. And for those of us who believe and trust in God and in the scriptures, well, it gets even more complicated for our kids when we are teaching them values that are becoming increasingly unpopular. What does this mean for our children and our youth at BCV? We can worry as parents. Will they go into school and be mocked for the things that we teach them in our homes? Will they listen to their teachers and their friends trivializing their Christian inheritance? Will they remain strong? How much more will our society change in the coming decades? It could be very easy to become overwhelmed. It would also be easy to water down our values so that our kids can fit in more readily with the opinions of their peers. It takes courage to equip our children to face opposition. But we are a courageous people. We must not back away from making sure that they know the truth. Parenting takes huge courage as we go against the grain in our workplaces and in our own friendship groups and choose to teach our children to live by faith and to love the Lord with everything they've got. Courageous parenting involves keeping our eyes open, keeping talking with our children. It means saying no when everyone else is saying yes, and saying yes to God when everyone else is saying no. Courageous parenting requires us to make faith and family a top priority. And you do not have to do this alone. Like Jochebed, who made a stand in a culture that went against the plans of God, we can all stand in this culture and call out to our God to guide us. Sometimes we're tempted to think that we're small and insignificant and cannot do really very much that matters. Jochebed was a slave's wife in a foreign country under oppressive rule. The Bible is full of little people who had a bigger impact than this world saw coming. So as I finish and we get ready to dedicate some babies, I would say to you as a church, let's invest in our children. Let's understand that we, all of us, our mothers and fathers in this place, and we have a generation following us that we are responsible to. Let's pour into our kids so that they know the stories of God. Let's pray that they understand who God says they are, that they know their identity and they know the truth in a culture where identity has become a very fluid thing and where Christians are even sometimes now seen as the enemy. Teach them to be really good friends, to be Jesus to people who are making radically different choices in life to the ones that they are making. God is writing our children's stories, so let's parent courageously in these changing times so that we can see the kingdom come and so that we can watch our children change the environments that they are in. What do you need to do to parent courageously in your homes and in this community? Perhaps courage for you is talking to someone about what you're going through and inviting them in, coming up for ministry at the end. Perhaps courage is asking for prayer. Perhaps courage for you is staying put in your family and not running. Perhaps courage for you is choosing family and doing the hard work of healing. Perhaps courage is being at home and being with your family more evenings each week. Perhaps courage for you is joining one of our kids' teams here, trusting that as you invest in our little ones in this church, that our God is so big that you won't miss a thing. Perhaps courage is trusting God with your teenager when they're with their friends and not being scared to remind them who they are before they go. So let's have courage and let's take action and remember to place our kids firmly in God's hands everywhere they go. I'm just going to pray. Yeah, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that as a community we are a courageous people and we know who we are. So would you just let our identity flood through us? Would you speak that over us now? Thank you that we know who you are and therefore we know who we are and we know the truth. And I pray that we would be a community that could impart this to the generation following us and that we could stand strong in you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.